when you combine online and offline marketing together, when you combine the internet, the telephone, other kinds of media, and when you do the telephone right, the telephone becomes a really, really powerful sales asset. And a lot of people are increasing their sales 25-50%, double, triple sometimes, just by using the phone effectively. And I have Ari Galper here. Welcome, Ari. It's great to have you here.
Always a pleasure, and I just enjoy talking with you and your folks and your team.
And, well, it's great having you. And, you know, Ari's one of these guys, when we come up with a plan of action, I mean, he implements with fury. And so we're going to be talking about how to really bring a completely different mindset to talking to customers on the telephone, to interacting with customers in general. There's kind of been a whole traditional sales approach of smashing customers in the head with a sledgehammer, or like forcing. You know, when I was in person to person sales, I felt like I was trying. Here's how I felt. I felt like I was trying to smash through a brick wall with the soft skin of my nose. And somebody
soft coercion.
Yeah, and it was like you know, somebody was just sure if I beat my head against that wall hard enough, eventually the wall would give in. And you know, sometimes your skull starts to crack, you get bruises and bleeding on your forehead, and the whole thing feels so unnatural. And sometimes you say to yourself, surely there must be a better way than this insanity. Right, Ari?
Absolutely, and there sure is.
So we're gonna get to the real meat of that in a few minutes. But I'm gonna start with most people on this call. Just given what my audience normally consists of, a lot of Google advertisers and whatnot. Most people who are listening are online marketers who. Maybe they do the entire sale online, or maybe they do part of the sale online and part of it, you know, maybe they collect leads and then follow up and use phone and in person to sell. But there's a combination. But most people on this call are already using the internet, and I'm finding I talk to hundreds of people about their online businesses, and one thing that I've discovered is a lot of people who buy something on the internet are like totally shocked if somebody calls them on the phone. A lot of times they're totally shocked if they can call somebody on the phone and even get an answer. Ari, could you talk about this? You know, what's going on with that? What's that all about?
This phenomenon. Well, the thing you have to think about, first of all, with people going online, there's a huge wall of skepticism about the internet in the first place. So that in itself is an automatic negative if you're selling online, because before somebody even gets to your site, they're already preset to not trust you, okay? Especially if you're using techniques that are traditionally salesy, manipulative, or tricky in some way, even if they're very subtle. So You're fighting that battle within itself. And the next thing you need to understand is that when you're selling online and you're not talking to human beings live over the phone, you're not having a dialogue with somebody. You see? What you're trying to do is pull them down your linear process to buy something, but you're never having a two-way communication, a two-way human connection. And now, autoresponders, emails, that is not dialogue. That is sending bits of data back and forth, hoping something will happen. So what we're talking about here is a surprising thing, which is bringing back the human touch and the human connection into a skeptical online world that's just really has a hole in it. It's missing the sort of human touch. And the reason why people are so shocked to get a phone call when they buy something or when they order something is because they're just they're assuming people are on the beach, you know, like we're told to do. Checking our stats, see how many sales we got, and aren't there to take the phone call. And
That is the dream, right?
That's the dream. Exactly.
I'm sitting on the beach. I have my laptop. I got special instructions to make it go cha-ching every time an order comes in. And I got a little cash register thing going, right? And I got wearing a sombrero. Isn't that how it's supposed to work?
Well, we're supposed to measure that based upon how many sales we get with pulling somebody down a linear process. What we don't ever see is how many sales we're losing because of it.
Mm.
And that is the whole new mindset and a whole new opportunity that I'm going to share with people today, to literally uncover brand new revenue opportunities that you've completely missed because of the fact that we moved away from a human natural dialogue on the internet. And that's the whole crux of the call today, if that makes sense, Perry.
Okay, so like a real typical statistic for selling online is somewhere between 0.5% and maybe 3% of your visitors will buy from you, and the rest of them won't. And that's normal, right? And you're saying, hey, wait, what about that other 97, 98, 99, 99.5%? Do you think maybe they might buy something too? Right?
Right. So what I'm exactly, Perry, so let me sort of go larger on that view. So if we say 2 or 3% are buying without talking to you, how many people are willing to talk to you who will be willing to buy because you're a human being and you want to listen to what they have to say?
Mm.
That's what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say, there's a whole huge percentage of people who would be willing to buy from you if they had some way to connect with you or your staff in a human way.
Right.
And yes, 98% leave your website and you've lost them because there was no way for you to connect with them at a human level.
Well,
that's the opportunity.
That only makes sense, right? And you're getting, yeah, you are getting, you're skimming the cream off the top, but there's this whole nother layer of almost convinced, or you know, they're still skeptical, but they could be tipped over the edge. And more to the point, we don't have to hit them with a sledgehammer either.
Well, that's exactly, yeah. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
What you're all about is taking the pressure and the feeling of manipulation out of the sales process, where I think most marketing books, most sales training is really about, well, here's how we can use more manipulation, right?
And you're
trying to move in totally the opposite direction. And there's an interesting connection between this. And I think this is like the big Ari discovery, from my point of view, is you already had this whole method that you were teaching people for making cold calls. Now, I've been teaching people how not to make cold calls at all, which is fine, but there are a lot of people who still got to make them, regardless of whether I think it's a good idea or not, right? And you've been teaching people how to make cold calls comfortable and non-confrontational and not scary anymore. And the internet follow-up with a customer idea that you're talking, could you talk about how those two worlds connect to each other?
Let me talk about that, because let me mention a couple things. One is, you mentioned how at some point in your career you made cold calls, and you went to the extreme opposite and made no cold calls at all, and pretty much just do a lot of, you know, behind your work scenes with your computer and your techniques. And this is what happens most of the time, is people come from a world where they associate selling with a pressure-oriented, awkward experience that they have to use manipulation for to make the sale.
Yep.
And that's what people run away from the phone from, and that's what people online basically hide behind their computers and use the internet as a way to sell, because they're trying to avoid the awkwardness and pressure associated with traditional selling. Okay?
Yep.
And therein lies the core reason of the two extremes. What I'm suggesting is that I have created a way to engage people, a middle ground, where you don't have to manipulate, cajole, or persuade someone to purchase by using a different mindset where your mental focus is not to focus on making the sale, but your mental focus is on building trust to unravel or reveal whether there's a fit between you and them or not. And that is a fundamental mindset shift. And if you get that place of centeredness, you can all of a sudden open up a whole new channel for yourself by using a dialogue and the phone as a tool for building your business. And that's the main key point why people are scared of the phone, because they associate with that whole pressure orientation. Now, the other point that you made was this whole idea of cold calls and how does that relate to someone who gets maybe inbound leads from the website. Now, there's a real myth around the inbound lead, because people think if someone calls them or they get an inbound email, that must be an easier sale than making a cold call. That's the whole myth. And then people call me and say, hey, Ari, I'm calling about these leads for my website, and you know what? I just can't get anywhere with these people. I can't make a sale. I get cut off at, hi, I'm calling you back. I got your note here from my website. They're dead at hello. So what I'm suggesting here is that calling back a lead is a cold call unless you have a previous relationship with them. And that's the definition. So what I'm trying to educate people on here is to understand that no matter which way you call, whether it's a cold call, calling back a lead, even if it's a referral, and you still don't have a relationship with them previously, it is cold. And unless you're skilled at warming that call up in a very natural, humane way, you're going to lose the sale, because there's no way to shift over that kind of that way of thinking. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, so what you're saying is if you can figure out how to take the pressure and the feeling of manipulation out of a cold call, you can also take it out of a lukewarm or a warm call. That's, you know, people want it to be hot, but it's probably not. It's probably, well, I'm tentative, I'm not sure, I don't trust you yet, right?
Well, we use what we call hopium, the drug that goes through our bloodstream when we get an inbound lead. We kind of hope they want to buy from us.
Yeah.
They called us, we didn't call them.
Yep.
There's this whole sort of trick we have in our mentality where if they call us, we think, oh, this is much easier than we call them.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, so, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, tell me, you've got this whole story. I've heard it, but I don't think most people have, about how, like, one day it suddenly hit you like a ton of bricks. What's wrong with this whole sales game? Could you tell about that day and what happened
to
you?
Yeah, I had a day of reckoning, I guess I could call it, that really hit me like a 2x4 from my head as to how to break this whole pressure-oriented sales game. And that was about 5-6 years ago. I was managing a sales team of about 25 people at a software company, and I was giving a live demonstration of our product over the internet to a prospect across the country. And it was a call I'd been working on setting up for about 6 months, and I finally got all the decision makers together on the phone, on their end. There was a vice president of marketing, the CEO, all the head honchos, and there I was back in our office in our conference room with myself and our CEO, and this was like the call I worked on forever to set up. And on this call, we got the call going, and I was my relaxed, natural self, and they were asking me all the right kind of questions, you know, how much does it cost, how does it work, how long have you been in business for? You know, and I was, of course, had all the answers, and so I was answering their questions perfectly well. And they were, you could feel the chemistry on this call building. It was almost like a love fest on the phone. You know what I'm talking about? Where I just
feel
so right with the client.
Right, your sale, man. We're in the stratosphere. We're in the jet stream.
Exactly.
We're going.
It's
going to be a slam dunk, baby, honey.
Exactly.
Honey, go ahead and put that deposit on that new house, because the commission check's coming.
Exactly. I mean, this call was just this was the dream call, Perry. I mean, it was just like I was in flow and they were in flow. They even said to me, Ari, fantastic demo. And my boss in the back of the room tapped my shoulder and said, Ari, nice job. And he high-fived me during the call. Like, this was over. Like, we had this in the bag, you know?
Yeah.
So we had this hour-long call. We're coming in on the call. I'm feeling good. They're feeling good. And we decided to catch up again a couple weeks after they get together to talk about the decision on the whole product. And so I'm saying my goodbye, and they're saying their goodbye on the phone. And remember, I'm in this conference room, and we got the big speakerphone in the middle of the room. You know, the one with, like, looks like a spaceship, the Polycon one?
Yeah, the little three tripod-looking deal. Yep.
Yeah, little saucer thing. So anyway, so I say my goodbyes, and I reach for the phone. And by accident, instead of pushing the off button, instead I pushed the mute button by accident. I mean, complete accident. And as I'm reaching over to hit the off button, quickly, they start speaking, thinking I had hung up the phone.
Mm.
And some voice inside of me said, Ari, just pull your finger back just for a couple seconds and go to the dark side and see what it's like in the prospect's world if I'm not there. And so, Perry, I listened in as they talked among themselves for a couple seconds, when they thought I hung up the phone.
Yeah.
Now, the question I might ask you or anyone on this call is, you know, what do you suppose I heard them saying after that love fest we just had on the phone?
We've kind of set it up so you could maybe guess. I don't, you know, if we're writing a horror novel, we haven't inserted a whole bunch of surprise. It's been mostly foreshadowing, right?
Exactly.
So what are we foreshadowing here?
Well, the funny thing is when I ask this in front of a live audience, people say things like, oh, they're going to look at other competitors, like kind of say nice things that aren't too damaging. But let me tell you exactly what they said word for word, okay? What they said was, we're not going to go with him. Keep using them for more information, and make sure that we shop someplace else.
Hmm.
Gotta
like that.
I was in a state of shock, Perry. I mean, in absolute state of shock. I have never been blatantly ever lied to in my entire life.
Or at least you had thought you hadn't. Right?
Correct. Exactly.
Right.
And that's what it... And I sat in the room just shocked for about a half an hour. We were staring at the wall going, what did we do wrong? Sitting there going, what is going on here? And all of a sudden it finally hit me. I realized that somewhere along the way, it has become socially acceptable not to tell the truth to people who sell. It's perfectly okay to say things like, send me information, sounds good, we're really interested, but in reality, it's not the truth. And that's when I realized it's time to unlock the sales game, to break this game back and forth people play in the sales process to get to the truth of where people stand. And that's what this entire program is about, this mindset, is to be able to take every sales situation, whether it's on the phone, on live chat, inbound leads, and take the pressure out so the other person, the prospect, feels comfortable telling you the truth so you don't get lied to and get stuck in that old sales game. And that's the break that woke me up to this entire way of thinking.
Hmm. You know what I'm kind of picturing in my head here is you thought that you were getting closer and closer and closer to them to closing a sale. They knew what you wanted, so they were willing to just completely lie to you. Is considered perfectly okay to do that. Nobody had any qualms about it. And they look like they're dancing with you. In reality, they're moving complete opposite direction. And when this happened, it seems to me that you really asked yourself, hey, wait a minute. What did we do to set this up to happen this way in the first place? Like, it's almost like you could have blamed them, but you said, hey, wait a minute.
Exactly.
Is this maybe my fault from the beginning somehow? Is that right?
Well, Perry, can I tell you that most sales training programs are based upon the premise that it's the client and customer's problem and fault, and our job is to get through those problems and persuade them to make a decision. I'm saying, no, it's not their fault. I'm saying it's our fault, our traditional sales guru's fault, for teaching us ways to use techniques that made other people feel uncomfortable, put pressure on them, which pushes them away from us, which now gives them permission to lie to us. So I'm saying we need to change our way of thinking, our behavior, to get a positive reaction from somebody in an integrity-based way. It's us that makes the change. We have the control to make it successful.
So, okay, so what was it that you decided that you or we, let's say, have been doing wrong all along? Mm-hmm. What did you decide? What are we doing wrong? How did we get here?
I'll tell you the big wake-up call is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
The big wake-up call here is what we're doing wrong is that when we're talking to a prospect, we are focusing on hoping to make a sale. That mental framework is like a guided missile going for the target, but the target's just not there. And that's what makes people move into doing things like using scripts and techniques to close something that may or may not be there. What I'm suggesting is that the new mindset is to not focus on making the sale with somebody you're talking to, but instead to build trust. That's the goal. Build enough trust to uncover the truth of whether there's an opportunity there or not. So you can walk away and not chase somebody who you hope is going to be a sale. And that is the fundamental shift that our program teaches, is the mindset of building trust first and not focusing on the sale first, because the sale is about our needs and not theirs. And that's the fundamental difference, Perry, that I teach in my program.
Okay, so you're saying, it takes a certain amount of courage, it seems to me. It takes a certain amount of courage to say, I'm not going to try to sell something to this guy today. I'm just going to figure out if he actually needs what I sell.
That's on the right track, but we go even further than that.
Okay.
That is what your mental dialogue is going to be, is I have no idea yet if I can help this person. And I don't want to make any assumptions that I can until I have a two-way conversation with the person and they tell me what's on their mind, and it's out in front of us, so we both together can decide if we're a fit or not. So this is completely detoxing from the old way of trying to get someone to do something, and instead coming in with a humble, humane, natural approach so the other person feels comfortable talking to you and telling you the truth. And what I'm suggesting is if you don't do it that way, you're going to be caught what I call a chasing game, meaning chasing moving targets who you think are expressing interest, but in reality aren't going to buy. And that's the whole shift. It's a mindset shift. It's not a technique for closing the sale faster. It's a shift away from that process of painful chasing in a way where you can match up with people who are your fit with you a lot quicker.
Okay, so what I'm thinking when I hear is this, all right, that sounds nice. How am I going to get anybody to even give me the time of day so that I can, like, build trust with this person? Like,
yep.
Who's got time for that?
Okay. Very good question. Your questions are exactly the typical questions that I get from people who are typically exposed to this at first, because at first it feels very abstract and not sure where to go. Okay?
Okay.
So that's the general philosophy. Now, there's a framework. There's actually a systematic process that I've embedded within that framework, couched in integrity, to get you with the other person in a way where you can have a conversation and it opens up quickly. And the way you do that is on the call, your mental focus is solving their problem, not trying to make the sale. Okay? That's a fundamental difference in the approach. So when you're approaching someone on a calling back, someone's on a lead, for instance, from your website, you don't want to call back and say, I hope I can sell them my program. You want to call back and say, let me talk to them and identify whether they have a problem and their problem fits my solution. Because based upon identification of the problem, then we might be fit together. So we don't go to second base until we hit first base, which is identifying the customer's problem and them being comfortable with fixing it or not. And that's the mental framework, is problem solving, not pitching.
Okay. Okay, so my phone rings, and you know, somebody's on my website, or a lead comes in, and we're going to try to solve a problem instead of ram a product down their throat. So what's different now? What are we doing?
Okay. Well, what's different is we're not going to say, oh, hi, this is Perry Marshall. Let me tell you what I have to offer. I've got e-books. I've got service. I've got coaching. There's going to be no sales pitch. There's going to be no discussion about your solution, because that's premature to the conversation. The first thing you're going to talk about when you get an inbound lead from somebody, you call them back, the first thing you're going to say to them is, can you tell me a little bit about your situation?
Hmm.
And you're not going to say anything about you at all. You're going to let them open up and share with you exactly the extent of what their issues are. And once you are listening, 100% listening, not mentally focusing on the next step, which we're taught to do. We're taught to, like, move somebody forward. I'm talking about being present and listening so carefully to identify whether you really are a fit with them or not. And that, being present in that moment, is the formula that builds trust, as opposed to being mentally five steps away trying to get the appointment. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah. It's like, it's sort of like, you know, I used to, when I was kind of new in sales, I would have this little tickler file, and I would call it my think it overs. Or maybe you could call it that. Oh, well, he's thinking it over. He's saying, eventually, he's going to tip. Eventually, he's going to buy. And I would, like, stack these things up. And I was just sure, one of these days, I'm going to cash these in. One of these days, all these orders are going to start coming. It's just inevitable. It has to happen. Right? And it was like, I mean, I can even think, when I was doing really badly, I can think of a situation that was, like, totally screwed up. I was sure it was going to turn into a $1 million purchase order and a $50,000 commission check, and I, like, lived in denial until the whole thing just, like, exploded in my face, right? Yeah. It was like this denial thing. And I think even the better ones among us, sometimes we, like, trick ourselves into thinking that people are more interested than they are. And, of course, they play along with that, just like your story, right? Because we're afraid to get to the truth, like, right now. I mean, aren't you kind of saying, let's just cut to the chase? Let's not have any more little fantasies about what's going on here. And if they're not, if you can't help them, just find out, like, right now, because you're never going to get anything out of this.
Well, let me go deeper for you on that. What you're really trying to say is, what we're afraid to hear from somebody is a no.
Mm.
You see, we've been so wired to go for the yes, that all of our activities, all of our mental processes are focused on getting a yes. What we've never been exposed to before is the concept of getting the truth, of a yes or a no, to have some mechanism to know when it's okay to walk away without feeling guilty. You see, because the old sales gurus have this real macho mentality around selling, and they tell you, you're a wimp if you give up, right? If you don't keep chasing them, if you don't get a yes, that means that you fail.
Winners never quit, and quitters never win. Right? Are you a man or a mouse?
That's right. And that mentality is what burns people out of selling, you see?
Mm.
Now, I'm not suggesting that doesn't work. You can certainly make sales doing it that way. People do all day long. But what you never will ever be able to see is how many sales you're losing because of that approach. And that is the major wake-up call for people to understand that traditional old-school selling that puts you in a situation where you're focused on closing somebody in itself is a tool that could be losing you money, because the approach itself turns people off. And once you understand that very clearly and you make the shift, you open up to a world where you can talk to them on the phone without pressure at all and identify quickly if you're fit or not, and they'll buy from you, not because you're a great pitch man, but because they understand clearly that your goal is theirs, and that is to solve their problem. And that is the formula for success in this new age of selling.
Now let's translate this to the web a little bit, because you made a, we did a teleconference a couple months ago, and you made a really interesting statement, because what you did is you put some interactive tools on your website and chat with people on your website. You'd talk to people on the phone while they were on your website, and we're going to get all the speed bumps out of the sales process on your website, right? And so we worked on that together, and you said something really interesting. You said, there's like no pressure and there's no hyperbole on my site. And I thought,
yes,
that's interesting. Like, the amateur school of copywriting is, hey, you know, here's 16 words that you can use to, make people's eyes spin like peas in a whistle, you know. Oh, they're going to get so excited about, why you should crawl buck naked over broken glass to buy my new hypendithyral phase-locked inverter or whatever, right?
Right.
And you said, no, we're going to take all the pressure. Can you explain that and how this connects, like even on a web page, how this connects to a phone call?
Well, basically, my main core program that I offer people is this whole entire philosophy around selling over the phone. And that's the core program that I have right now. But what I've been using is taking this entire philosophy and applying it online to my own business for the last 5 years. So on my website, all the hype, as much of it as possible, has been removed. And we've implemented tools to dialogue, to converse with people in a natural way at the human level, away from this idea that people are teaching out there, which is try and close them, close them, close them. What we've been learning is that people are ordering our program, buying from us, not on our ability to close them better, but on the fact that they're able to trust us by talking to us at a human level with our chat tools, our live talk tools, and we have staff that call people back to thank them, to actually thank them after they order. On the same day they order, just to call and say, this is the funny thing. When I used to call back clients and thank them after the order, I'd say, it's Ari. I'm just calling back to say thank you for ordering the program. I go, who? I go, it's Ari. I'm the guy that wrote the program. I go, really? They're shocked. Then they say, well, why are you calling? And I said, I'm just calling to say thank you. No hidden agenda. And people are floored by the fact you're calling them just to thank them. And this whole philosophy of talking to people in a way without a hidden agenda is what the entire website does to help it be successful and make the sales.
So what does it feel like when a person's on a website with no pressure?
Well, from what we've discovered is that, we dialogue with most people on the website. We have a live chat services where we engage people on their pages, and we engage them in a very non-confrontational way. We don't say, hi, how can I help you, in our chat boxes, right? We say, hi, it's Sharon, and I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to see if you have any questions about what you're reading. And we have a conversation with them. What they tell us in these chats is that they are going to buy from us by the fact that we're willing to have a conversation with them. So not because my program looks like it's the best compared to anybody else's, but a weighting factor in the reason why they're going to purchase from us is because we built trust with them with a conversation, okay? And that's the core philosophy online. If you begin to think about that, is how can you begin to dialogue with people and uncover their problems and become a problem solver. And one of the key things that we've talked about, Perry, in our last couple of calls is that on the homepage is that we have an opt-in box that has a little field that says, tell me what your selling challenge is. So people type in their problem. When we have their problem, guess what? We can now have a discussion with them about their problems, not about pitching our services. And that's the fundamental shift in what we teach, basically.
So what happens, like, give me a couple examples. Somebody switches to it's like a 180, right? They used to be, okay, I want you to call these people, I want you to close them, want you to make a list of how many people you called, you know, how many yep. people are qualified prospects, how many of them you think are going to buy from you, the scheduled date of the order, blah, you know, and like, you know, most of the bosses I had, they're like flogging me and they're trying to get, well, can you get them to order that this month instead of next month? And it was like, if I did what they told me to, I would destroy their relationship just to make a number this month.
Right. You see what you're saying here? What you're talking about is a big issue called the numbers game. And that numbers game is a real myth that was put out there by traditional sales gurus that tell us it's all about how many people you call, right? Because if you make a lot of calls, you'll squeeze out some sales, right?
Yep.
What I'm suggesting is that is a complete myth. It's not about how many calls you make. It's about how deep you go on each call to get to the truth. That shifts the entire way of thinking here, because it's no longer about 100 calls you make today and you make 2 sales. It's about calling, maybe making 20 calls and having 10 great conversations, and from that leading to larger revenue over time. Hmm. And the funny thing is, people, when they hear this, they go, well, Ari, this sounds like a real nice approach, but this probably could take me a long time to make a sale. Like, the sales process might be extended like over months. And I say, you know what? It's the complete opposite. It cuts your sales process and time lag in half, because now what you're doing is you're getting to the truth a lot faster versus chasing numbers hoping to make the sale. So what happens is, in companies, when they take my program and implement it, their number of prospects in their pipeline drops dramatically. And so they get shocked, like, what's this RE guy doing? And then what happens is they make more sales because they're chasing less people who aren't going to buy. It's a really funny shift, but that's what happens, and that's why this program is doing so well.
Well, I tell you something that I keep thinking about in this conversation. My friend John Paul Mendoza, he's a brilliant sales trainer. If you knew John, if you knew Ari, they're about as different as two people could possibly be. Okay? I mean, Ari, I'm not even sure you've met John. I don't really know.
No, I haven't.
But John is like, John's like a storm the barricades, fearless, alpha male sales guy, I guess. That's kind of a,
yeah.
I'm probably, you know, doing him an injustice by, you know, labeling him that way. But there's something exactly identical that he does, and like he used to do turnarounds. Like, this company's failing, they're going down the tubes, they got 86 days of cash left before the whole place is bankrupt, the rats are jumping off the ship, the place is going down, and they hire him to come and fix it. And he's like the hired sales gun. And he would scare them to, so after they'd hire him and he's kind of, okay, John's coming in, he's going to fix us, salvation has arrived, the first thing he'd do is he'd start scaring them to death. Not only would he get rid of prospects that, like, he'd get on the phone and his whole purpose was disqualification. Okay, his whole purpose is to find out if they are not going to buy. And if they are not going to buy, or if they do not have a problem that he can solve, he's going to cross them off the list, and they're going to spend no more time on them. Furthermore, he would usually fire several customers that he didn't think was really a good match for where the company wanted to go, and that would really scare everybody. Like, well, okay, yeah, I know you got this customer and everything, but you're only making, like, you know, 1.5% margin on this. It takes all the time from engineering, and the customer needs all this tech support. Get rid of them, because if you get a customer that could actually put some money in your pocket, you won't be able to serve them. And this would really scare people. So 45 days into the 88-day, you know, before we run out of money thing, you know, they got white knuckles. They're scared to death. But he would pull it out. And why? Because he was not afraid to hear a no. And if he had 200 people on a prospect list, it was like, well, you know what? There's going to be 5 or 6 of these that are actually going to turn out. So let's just find out who they are, like, as fast as possible. Now that's kind of a you know, strapped to the wing with the engine running kind of version of what you're describing, but in some sense it's the same, right?
Like, I think ultimately it's similar because you're getting to the truth of whether there's something there or not, right?
Right, and you probably get to the truth nicely. John doesn't always get to the truth nicely, but either way, it was like, all right, let's find out, is this a yes or a no? Are we going to dance or not? Are we for each other or not? If not, you know what? There's other, you know, there's other girls. There's other guys. There's that, right?
Yep, and you're making a very good point, Per, because it comes down to people's personality and approaches. If you're comfortable with an aggressive approach like that,
yep,
slicing through the trees and creating awkward moments sometimes or making people feel a certain way, if you're comfortable with that aggressive, hardcore approach, then please, by all means, follow it.
Right.
But a lot of people who have come my way just don't have personalities like that, who can slash and burn and go home at night and feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a slash and burn guy. It's not my nature. I grew up with a dad who's a psychologist, you know, who talked to me at night and said, sorry, tell me your feelings. You know what I'm trying to I can't operate at that level because I just be that way. But I can tell you, we get the same efficiencies by getting the truth with this framework, whether it's nice or not, but you do it in a way that makes it as humane. Let's just put it that way, in a humane way. And that's what that's the philosophy, that integrity, humane way that I really believe in. So it's a personal choice, really.
Right, right. Well, I think everybody who develops maturity in any profession or any endeavor, you always end up finding your own way.
Right.
Of you know, we've all got our own style, and I think it's very important you have to sell in a way that's congruent with your own style. Now, I am not a slash and burn guy. John is. You're not. I'm not. But the thing is I think a lot of people, you know, what I wanted to do in sales, which I eventually got to, it took a long time to figure out how, but I wanted to show people interesting new ways of doing things and for them to buy my idea. And then I wanted to be able to get paid because, well, they were doing it this old way, which was crummy, and I showed them the new, better way, and the light bulb went on, and they they go, hey, that's for me. And what turned it around, I'd say, it was like two things. One was, if you're going to have a consultative sale, if you're going to be a trusted advisor to the customer, you have to take the pressure out, because nobody will take advice from somebody who makes them feel pressured.
That's right.
I mean, they will not. If you want to call it consultative selling or whatever, they will not do it if you had to pound your way in.
And interestingly enough, as I've discovered, it's not sometimes the overt pounding, like the used car sales approach, that's the issue here. It's subtleties.
Mm.
It's subtleties in languaging and words you use that in itself could be causing pressure on people. So most of my clients who buy my program aren't necessarily really hardcore, old-school people.
Mm.
They're normal, like consultants, like easygoing people who have a difficult time selling because they're using elements from the old-school way of selling that in itself is causing a problem. I mean, there's certain phrases and words that I teach in our program, certain languaging, that in itself is triggering pressure on people.
Give me some examples of phrases and words that trigger the wrong...
Okay.
Reaction from somebody.
Okay, I'll give a classic example. And keep in mind, the only way this stuff all works is if you have the right mindset behind it. So I'm sometimes hesitant to give out languaging without the mindset, because it could be used as a script and then you're back to square one again. But in this case, we kind of prepared everybody.
Yeah.
I think we're okay.
Okay.
But I'll give you a classic scenario. Okay. So let's say you're on the phone with somebody. First call, inbound lead, outbound lead, it doesn't matter, and the call is going well, right? And you're coming to the end of the call. And what are we taught? What are we trained to do at the end of a call with a first call prospect? What are we hoping is going to happen? What do we want to say on the phone typically? What do you expect us to typically say?
Well, Mr. Prospect, when can I call you to follow up?
Exactly.
Right?
Okay.
Hey, when can we follow up, Mr. Miller?
Okay.
Right?
So what you're doing, Perry, is you're attempting to close them to a next step, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So
it's like, step two towards closing you is what, Mr. Miller? Right?
Right. So, what could happen if you try and close somebody at the end of a call like that and they're not comfortable being closed? What's the risk that could happen?
Well, they agree with you because you're too nice of a guy to treat like they treat telemarketers at 6 in the evening, right? Like, well, this guy's nicer than most telephone guys, so I'll agree to a time, right? But I don't like this guy. Or maybe they're already moving away from you. Even as they're telling you they're moving towards you, they're moving away. Right?
Very well said, Perry. That's exactly what happens. If people don't want to hurt your feelings,
yep.
What they do instead is they move forward, but psychologically, it's over. You've already burnt the relationship because you're trying to close them and use a technique that's designed to put pressure on people to do something next. So that's the problem, that classic example there, which everyone uses all day long. So in our program, this is what we teach at the end of the call. Remember, the goal is to uncover the truth and see where people stand. So what we say at the end is, so the call comes to an end, you know, it's going well, da-da-da. What we teach, and here's what I might say is, I would say, instead of, you know, let's go to the next step, I would say, where do you think we should go from here?
Hmm.
And I'll say it again. Where do you think we should go from here, Mr. Prospect, or John, whatever your name might be? Did you feel the shift in that languaging?
Yeah, you just tossed the ball to me. And we're not afraid for me to not throw it back.
Right. What I'm doing is I'm saying, tell me what's on your mind. Where do you want to go from here? Are you comfortable? Are you not? Do you have questions? Do you not? You tell me, because it's about you right now. What I'm not going to do is try and close you and be a typical salesperson that I've been taught to do over the years, because I'm not going to risk the relationship by using a technique to close you. I'd rather get to the truth of what's on your mind. And that combination of that mindset and the language I just gave you is extremely potent. And if you combine both together, you can be unstoppable with this approach. Unstoppable.
So the really oversimplified version of this is, you started, instead of starting by saying, hi, my name is John. I'm from Acme Corporation, and we have blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Okay, and ending with, when can I follow up with you, Mr. Miller?
Right.
Okay, which both at the beginning and at the end, you pushed them away.
Right.
Right? Instead, you started by saying, tell me a little about your situation. You threw the ball to them and were totally willing for them not to throw it back. Right?
That's right.
And then you went through a whole series of steps that you teach, and then where do you think we should go from here?
Yep.
And then, they have to decide, do they want to play ball with you?
Well, here's the funny thing. If you have the mindset downright and you understand it at your core level, what's funny is when you attempt to try this, what happens is the other person says, well, why don't we set up an appointment for next week at Friday and come on by and talk to us? They booked the appointment, not you.
You mean they let you in?
Yeah.
They let you come over?
Well, that's the funny thing, is they booked the appointment because you give them permission to do it. It's like it's like an oxymoron. It's like totally ironic. It's like, what?
But wait a minute. I thought I was a sales lizard and nobody would touch me. I thought I was a leper.
Right.
Wait a minute, you mean I don't have to stand outside the city and not touch anybody?
That's right. Well, let me sum this up. I believe that in this day and age, the sale itself is no longer lost at the end of the process. I believe it's lost at hello. It's lost at the beginning. And if you can't build trust in the beginning with people, you're not going to go anywhere. And that's the bit, another wake-up call. It's a big myth that's been taught over the years. It's all about the close. I'm telling you, it's all about the open.
Mm. Okay, so...
And the open is what creates the trust.
So let's say you're a consultant or you're selling some kind of service or what have you, and you're collecting leads on your website. And all right, I came into work this morning, got an email box full of these leads. I'm going through them. I'm calling them up. Hi, this is Joe. You came to our website yesterday, and you requested our brochure, and I'm just following up to see if blah, 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 blah. What you're saying is you already started wasting all those clicks you just bought.
It's over. You've just burnt that lead by entering the conversation with a salesy approach.
But Ari, I sell jets, and those clicks are $6 a piece, and only 10% of them fill in the form, so they're $60 leads, and I'm doing the best I can, Ari. I'm calling these people, and they won't buy anything from me. And I'm burning up $60 leads, like, you know, every 5 minutes.
Well, if anyone on this call takes one thing away today, that is, it's not about what you're selling. It's about how you're selling. And that's what I'm trying to shed light on today for everybody, is to re-look at how you're doing it. If you can do it in a way that builds trust, you'll open up a whole new avenue of opportunity that's closed for you right now. And, you don't begin the call with a pitch. You begin the call, first of all, by collecting their problems somewhere on your website, so you have it in your hand when you call them back. Like on our website, we collect their problem when they come in.
Mm.
So when they put their phone number in and their problem, we call them back. We don't say, hi, I'm with Unlock the Game, and I want to sell you this, or here's our program. We call and say, hi, I'm calling you back, and I saw you wrote here in your email that you're having some fears around making cold calls. Can you tell me a little bit about your situation?
Yeah.
And that's it.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's like a floodgates opening up.
Now, here's a big question. One of my, like, big... I got the CD on my website called Guerrilla Marketing for High-Tech Salespeople, and, like, the very first thing I say... And I made that CD almost 5 years ago. And almost the very first thing it says is, people are failing in business because they ignore principles and replace them with techniques. Now, you're trying to describe a principle, but a lot of people could mistake it and try to do a technique instead. Could you explain the difference and, like, how some people totally screw this up, even though they might be, quote-unquote, saying the right thing?
Very smart question, because this happens a lot of time. People come to that website, they listen to the free test drive, and they grab a couple of snippets, and go, okay, this is great, I'm going to go try it tomorrow. And what they do is they actually read from a piece of paper the actual language that I give them, and it sounds like a sales script, you see? So what happens is this will not work at all unless you've integrated the mindset as a way of viewing the world, as a way of viewing people. View them as people, not prospects. You have to have a mental view of how you're viewing the people you're calling first in order for the languaging to connect with the mindset. It has to be together. It has to be one. So people at first go, this is a great technique, Ari. I'm going to use it tomorrow and close this deal. Okay? And they may get a few steps forward, but they'll ultimately fail because their whole philosophy is still old school. It's still try and use it to get the sale. And that's why this is not a quick fix. This is a mindset. It's a habit. It's a way of thinking. And it's a way of life, really. It's a way of treating people with integrity and solving their problems. And that's really what it's about.
Could you say that that there's a lot of people who they look at other people like they're little vending machines, and if they push the right buttons on the vending machine, out comes the money, and that's kind of the level at which they operate.
Right. Yep. They, you're right. There's a dehumanization, of selling to somebody where it's mechanical, scripted, and linear, where you're robotically trying to coerce someone in a very subtle way to buy what you have. And that, as far as I'm concerned, is manipulation. And I'm just not comfortable with that way of being with people, you see? I'd rather be up front and try and solve the problem. And if I can't, I'd rather be big enough to know when to walk away. And that is a fundamental personal choice of how you want to live your life. And that's why people who bought the program and who believe in it are making a stand about what's right and what's wrong. And I think a lot of people are just tired of the old way of trying to get money from people in a way where they're treated like, you know, machines. Like you said, ATM machines, you know?
Right. Could you say that a lot of your most successful salespeople that you teach, or marketers, what have you, are people who said, man, I always knew there was something wrong with this. It never felt right. I could barely make myself do it. Ah, now I get why. Is that kind of like, oh, you know, I can treat people like people, and like it might actually be rewarded with a good relationship here.
Well, the funny thing is the majority of people out there who are selling the old way, deep down inside, have a feeling it's not right. It doesn't feel right. But that's all they know to do.
Right.
They can't imagine there's a different way of doing it. It's not possible because they've been groomed and trained to think this is the only way of doing it. So you're right. It's people instinctively are looking for a way out of that painful way of selling. And I'm like a light for them, a light out of the tunnel. And so they're coming my way because they're looking for a role model of somebody who can still be successful in their income without treat people like robots. So there's a natural calling to this approach, and that's why it feels so right for me, because I don't have to sell it. People know deep down it's the most natural way of being with people and building trust.
How long does it take to make the shift? And you call it the mindset. Like with you, it's the capital M, mindset. It's a very definite. How long does it take to absorb that and reshuffle the deck?
Well, believe it or not, if you listen to the CDs and watch the video that's in the program, within a few hours, you will begin to start transforming, start to sort of melt away and see things you may have never ever seen before. So the first few days is kind of like detox.
Okay.
It's like you got to kind of detox first and let go, of what you've been holding on to, what you believe is right for so long in selling, and let it go. And when you start shedding that process, you feel a sense of relief. It's like, oh, Ari, I just feel so much better now. Now I see what's been holding me back over the years and why I feel so uncomfortable selling this way. So once you clear your mind and shed all those beliefs, then you start to learn further in the materials. You begin to plug in different languaging and words to use, and it all comes into alignment. It comes in, and it really works. So I would say within a week or so, you begin to see traction. And then over a few weeks, you begin make it a natural habit for yourself. Now, of course, we're talking about a different way of thinking, so it does take a while to master it. But with the right support and the right tools, it is absolutely doable. And we have a coaching staff that we have available, and we assign coaches to every person that buys the program. So you have a human being to work with to walk you through the transformation process, because it is a transformation, and those who are open to it the most are the ones who shift over the fastest.
So what happens to people typically, 2 weeks into this process?
Well,
what starts to change?
Well, I'll tell you, okay? What happens is people immediately, they go to the CDs and go to the e-books and they find certain pieces of material that match their pipeline or the scenario right now. Like, I've got a section on inbound leads, right? I have a section on cold calling. I have a section on following with people who send information out. So they grab their section they're having problems with. They go ahead and they test. They try a few things. And all of a sudden, it works, meaning they don't get any pushback on the call. They have, like, a great conversation. They get to the truth, and they go, wow, this is really interesting. I actually got to the truth of where this stands.
Mm.
So within the first 2 weeks, people are already testing and using it live with real people, and they're automatically shifting their mindset. So I have people within days who write back to me with stories of relief and success, both together, you know? So you'll see on the website there's a lot of testimonials of people who report the sense of being free. Freed up of that mental sort of slavery where they had to sort of force someone to buy. And so it's a combination of psychologically letting go of all that sort of damaging way of thinking and then seeing results come in right away from that approach.
You've got a whole explanation here. You've got people describing, you know, where they've been and what they've done and how this is structured. And so we're going to sit down and, you know, we've got a whole approach for how this translates to the internet. And so we're going to sit down and we're going to go through, all right, you know, here's the sales version of this. Now here's how it translates to a web page. Here's how it translates to how you write copy and stuff. And again, I think there's a ton of amateur copywriting out there. It's almost nauseating because it's like, hey, you know, crawl over, buck naked over broken glass so you can fly in our airplanes because we have the best airplanes in the world. Let's say you're selling airplanes, right? And you're saying, no. Get to the truth, not the sale. When you go for the truth, you know, you don't waste time with people you shouldn't be talking to. And when your website's designed to get to the truth, it's congruent with this whole thing, and so the speed bumps go away. Right.
Correct. That's what we're going to talk about. Right.
And this is a whole direction that I'm going with Ari. I think there's a lot to this, and it's just so poorly understood. I think, well, like I said, the nauseating amateur copywriting is just loaded with this kind of stuff, and you got to get rid of it.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
Well, I've sent a lot of people to this page, and to your site to study it, so that they can get a feel for what it looks like when somebody's creating a casual conversation with somebody, getting to the truth, not trying to force things. And, I mean, this is a very successful website. It's a masterpiece of selling, and it is that way by not trying to be selling, but trying to get to the truth. And so it's really, you know, it's kind of an inversion of the usual thing. So I really appreciate it. I think it's a brilliant strategy, and it's based on a principle. It's like, well, okay, we're not just trying to, you know, make something up here. We're trying to get to the heart of a problem and have a bunch of and you got a bunch of raving fans.
Yeah. If you go to the top of the website, you click on success stories, you're going to see hundreds of people in their stories and people who are just cannot stop getting enough of this way of thinking, because I think the world, the business world, the world in general, right now in our lives, there's so much chaos out there and so much manipulation in the world of business that we're taught to do by quote-unquote gurus. I think there's a real calling for an approach that adds a humanist and decency to business, where you can still be successful, still make money without feeling like sleazy, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm trying to tell people. There is a way to do it, and you can do it easily if you just are open-minded. And that's what that's my main message here, Perry, today, I think, is just be open-minded.
Yep. Well, I'll add one more comment here, you know, for people who want to study your website, is if you click on the success stories and you click on the, you know, all industries thing where you can see them all, these are some of the best testimonials I've ever seen on any website. And, like, you didn't write them.
These are people that send things to me like 3 days after the order or a week later, and they just let their hearts go and keep writing. I had to cut these things down, and it's unsolicited, and it's a real outpouring of a call that people are looking for a way out of feeling that they got to manipulate to make a sale, and I think that. That's why this has hit a real resounding sound in resident people, because this is a way out of that painful place.
This is great. Did I mention Ari's in Sydney, Australia? It's like the next day over there already.
Yeah, it's already the next day. I moved here, I was mentioning a couple years ago. My wife, she's from Australia, and I run the whole business from here.
That's pretty nice. Well, any last thing that you want to mention here before we bail?
I would just say if what you heard today resonates with you and it feels like it's your personality and how you're brought up and how you want to treat people, then come along with us in this ride, because I think you and I are going to create some very interesting products coming out soon and approaches that are really going to apply to certain things that are very mechanical in a very human way that will really change the face of what selling is about. So I'd encourage you to come on board, pick up either part one or part two of the program or both. And get on with what we're doing, because I think this is a good thing happening out there.
It is, and it works. So, Ari, thank you very much. Have yourself a great day, and everybody, thank you for your time and attention. And I hope Ari's approach is able to help you get to another level. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Ari.
Take care.
Bye now.